Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
But a lot of people are like, oh my God, October 7th. But like, no, this is since 1948.
If you really look at what's going on in Gaza, you can see it's just really inhumane.
People are saying, well, but what about the Jewish community that is under attack as well? The women that were raped, the kids that were put into ovens.
I thought that was...
It was not. The UN came out with a report.
That was denied. Was that not denied?
I believe it was.
It actually happened.
I thought that was denied.
And I've talked with some
I don't know the resources. But like I said, we're not here to condone any... we're not here for violence at all.
Do you feel like that you could separate the two and you say, hey, let's just talk about the humanitarian aspect of it without talking about the larger conversation of Hamas using the people that you care about, I care about, as human shields? Like, does that concern you?
It does concern me. It does. It's actually really unfortunate. We're not, you know, we don't look highly at that at all.
Lawrence Jones, Fox News' Lawrence Jones, talking to two of these supporters. You know, I know that it's the easiest way to identify them as like the Palestinian supporters, but that's not what they are. Brad, they are not people who are out there advocating for what is on the surface, what's the easiest thing to label them. You know, if you're protesting because you want safety and security in Gaza for the Gazan people, you can't look at Israel as the source of the destruction that is taking there.
Right.
When Hamas, the people who are in charge of Gaza, build underneath the humanitarian schools, the hospitals, the places of refuge that these people in Gaza, they seek out these places for shelter. And Hamas goes, where can't Israel hit us without having to pay a higher cost under a hospital? All right, let's build in these tunnels. Let's build up our enterprise under a hospital. When they attack us, the world will look at Israel like, how dare they attack a hospital? And Hamas will be able to exist in that capacity, Hamas is doing that. Yeah. And it's not like Israel woke up on a Sunday morning and said, we're going to take out Hamas today. We're going after Hamas. No, the atrocities that were committed in Israel, yes, on October 7th, to these ignorant supporters of, I'm just going to call them Hamas, because if you're not taking your ire about the treatment of Gaza, the Gazan people, directly towards Hamas, then you're ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to them just set aside October 7th as if it's just a footnote in the story is obscene. It is absurd. And it's very difficult for me to be like, these are pro-Palestinian supporters. You are either supporting Israel or Hamas in this conflict. Is that wrong to say?
No, I don't see how you can say I know people say they want a two-state solution, but one of the parties involved in this conflict doesn't. They are not interested in a two-state solution, where the other one would be like, yeah, for sure, let's do this, whatever, stop shooting rockets at us, we'll be happy. You know, let us exist, you exist, we'll do our thing, you do your thing, we're happy with that. But the people of Gaza, the Palestinians, they don't want that. That's the chant, from the river to the sea. The river, for those of you who don't know, is the Jordan River. To the sea is the Mediterranean Sea. They're saying that whole area needs to be liberated for Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's in between the river and the sea?
Israel.
Israel needs to be removed. You hear people at Columbia University telling Jewish students to go back to Poland. This is not, it's not pro-Palestinian. It's anti-Israeli.
Yeah.
It's anti-Jewish.
Anti-Jewish. Joe Biden spoke on the protests.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
I condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. This has been the talking point in the last 24 hours. Of course, I wasn't here yesterday. You know, when your kid comes home from school, if they have a slight fever, they have to be fever-free for 24 hours before they can go back to school. I get it. That was a pre-COVID rule. So, yeah. I saw a couple people being like kind of pushing back on. I put a tweet out yesterday and they were like trying to suggest that somehow or another it's ridiculous to if the kid is fine to have to sit out like all these newfangled rules. I don't want other people's kids in school with my kid if they had a fever yesterday.
Right.
Simple. And it's easy. My husband has, we've had broken bones. My son tripped in his room and smashed his face into a desk and busted up his lip and had to have stitches, and just, we have had quite a year, and my husband bears the brunt of those days off. So I took yesterday off to serve the 24-hour fever-free sentence with my daughter. I didn't mind it, I'm going to be honest. But I did watch some news while I watched Wish, which is the Disney movie that's out, and we watched Princess and the Frog, and then I watched Jesse Waters and some Laura Ingraham, and tried to pick up on some Gutfeld to catch up. But did you guys talk yesterday about good people on both sides?
No.
Have you heard people talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump in Charlottesville. People are comparing the protests right now to the Charlottesville protests. They're not even really comparable. But Donald Trump came out and had the famous phrase of "there are good people on both sides," which is, I mean, have you ever gone fishing?
Yes.
What do you fish for?
Usually bass.
You ever fish for bluegill?
Yes.
You've gone fishing for bluegill?
Yes, but I usually take a little kid with me whenever we're doing that.
Why?
Because they're easy to catch.
Because they're easy to catch!
I've caught bluegill on, you know those little white flowers from clover? I just had a hook, and so I threw that little clover on the hook and threw it out there and moved it around. Bang, it hit it.
The clover bait is like the good people on both sides bait.
Yeah.
You just dangle it out there, and it's like, boom, got one. And somebody is just like, yeah, he said there were good people on both sides. That's how you know he's a white supremacist. And it's like, do you feel better now that you got that off? And then you throw the bluegill back because it's gross and worthless and too many bones. That's what I hear. I don't eat fish. Yeah, you're going fishing for bass. Maybe you're trying to catch, crappie or the catfish is totally different. Rig, if I have listened to anything. I will bait a hook.
Mm-hmm.
I've done crickets. There was a time in my life, it's probably when I was trying to get my husband to propose to me, where I would bait my own hook with cricket. Totally don't have a problem doing worms. I like to bass fish. I love being out on a John boat in a lake or fishing from a dock somewhere quiet and calm. Love the whole experience. I will take the fish off the hook if I have a glove. I'm not touching that thing without a glove. Sorry. I feel like I've met the moment enough to not have to be like, yeah, I'll touch that fish with my hands. I probably would if I did it more, but no. When you're trying to have an intellectual conversation with somebody, it's kind of like bass fishing. It requires a little skill. You got to know where to find these people. If you're standing, if you put your fishing pole down on the dock and the hook is like just because you're baiting your kid's hook or something like that, you put your pole down. If the hook is 18 inches down and it even grazes the top of the water, you're catching a bluegill.
Yeah.
It's jumping out of the water because it can't help itself. It's like, I got to get in the game. I got to get it. I got to bite that hook. I can't pass it up. It's right there. It's almost in the water. And then you got yourself a troll who's trying to tell you that, you know, the president told you to drink bleach and, you know, the fear that Americans are so stupid that they would inject themselves with bleach after Donald Trump said to do so when COVID was happening. Do we have any of those people in the chat yet?
Not yet.
Where are they? Come back, people. These are the kind of conversations that we have. The Charlottesville one, big, big, big time hoax. That Donald Trump came out and said that there were good people on both sides, meaning that there is that these white supremacists are just misunderstood. That was the implication of what the bluegills in the media, they couldn't help themselves. Just like start calling them bluegills. It's perfect that they're blue. What if they were redgills? I'd have to change the whole analogy. The bluegills in the media, Charlottesville, was the hook that was hanging 1 inch over the calm pond water, and they just couldn't help themselves, and they're jumping out. It's like nobody even wants you. Nobody's even asking for you. Nobody showed up to the pond to see you, bluegill. Get back in the water where you belong. But you can't stop. You can't help but catching them. There are good people on both sides. False. What Donald Trump said, first of all, he criticized the a-hole white supremacists that were out there. He did. Go listen to the tape. There was a time in the show where I dedicated an enormous amount of my energy doing research to explain to you how Donald Trump wasn't racist. You'd have to find that on my Twitter timeline because I put the work in and it's there somewhere. Donald Trump explicitly condemned the white supremacist aspect of people who were taking over what was going on in Charlottesville, which was a Robert E. Lee statue. And what he was saying is there were good people on both sides of the statue's existence where it was in that moment. He wasn't saying that the white supremacists were good. And in fact, you can take that to the bank because he said so much that they weren't good people. But that's not useful to the yip yip bluegills who won't stay off the freaking hook. They see that and it's like it's a feeding frenzy. And it will last years and years and years later. Now we have Joe Biden, who is up crap creek right now because the Democratic Party as a whole is splitting down the middle because somehow or another, Joe Biden has to be the two-state solution that everybody knows is an impossibility and tell the Palestinian supporters, false narrative, tell the protesters that are out there, the people in Michigan who he needs to vote for them, that he's there for him and he understands him. I see you. I feel you. I understand you. From the river to the sea. Oh, Jewish voters in the Democratic Party, I see you too. Good luck with that. It's not working. He's effectively saying there are good people on both sides. And a lot of, I'm not the first person to say this. I've heard a lot of people saying it, but it is a very, very good point. I was watching one Fox interview and there was an Obama speechwriter, Obama advisor or something that was on there. And he's Jewish, very well-spoken, seemed like a very nice man. I can't remember what his name is. Hogan Gidley was on that. And Howie Kurtz, is that his name?
Kurtz, yeah.
The three of them were on there, and they went first to the Obama advisor or whatever to talk about the difficulty that Joe Biden has here in threading this needle. And he said, you know, listen, I'm a Democrat, but I'm a Jewish person. And he goes in this long explanation of how Joe Biden has been completely resolved. And if you listen to Joe Biden, he'll say ironclad. That's his word. In his support for Israel. And then he goes on to list all of the things that this Biden administration has done to support Israel. They were all true statements. There was no lie detected there. The problem is that's only 50% of the story. And this is exactly why the Biden administration, and more so the Biden campaign, it's almost like the Biden administration supports Israel, but the Biden campaign supports the protesters. And he has to serve both masters. He has to make sure that he doesn't abandon our greatest ally in his actual job, but he has to make sure he doesn't abandon enough of his Democrat supporter allies who need to show up to vote for him come November. So when you listen to somebody, and they're going to do this on Twitter, the Bluegills are all over Twitter as well. They cannot help themselves. They have a fully stocked pond on X. When it comes to, you could be on either side of the issue. Supporting Israel, they'll give you a laundry list of things that fly in the face of, if I were to say that Joe Biden hasn't been ironclad in his resolve to support Israel, it's because he's willing to do something different than what he's willing to say. Because every time he goes and does a, or has a surrogate go do a media hit somewhere, they can say that he's been in full support of one side or the other. Speak truth about it, but it's a portion of the truth. It's not the entirety of the truth. It's almost as if he's explaining the good sides on both issues. Now, I think that any intellectual person can look at what's going on in Gaza and see what Hamas is doing to the Gazan people and have a great amount of humanitarian sympathy, empathy, hurt for what these people are going through. There is something there that needs to be acknowledged. But for political interest, everything gets shifted on Israel. Shame on Joe Biden for not pointing that out, for not being the leading voice of saying, I'm with you about the oppression that the Gazan people are living under. I see you. You are correct. They have been oppressed and they need to be liberated from Hamas. Because that's where the oppression is coming from, not Israel. You think he's going to say that? Because if the true point of the protests, the encampments, it all kind of looks similar. If the true effect of these protests is supposed to be a peaceful liberation of those living in Gaza who happen to be Palestinian people so they can live in peace without threat of being attacked, then tell Hamas to stop using them as human shields. After they go into the homes of people across their border and kill them, slit their throats, rape them in front of their children and spouses, and then murder them while they're live streaming it on their social media platforms. You don't get to do that and then go hide in hospitals and schools and then get the world to say, oh, Israel, how dare you? The Gazan people, how could you do this to them? No. You focus your ire on Hamas because that's 100% where it belongs. And if that's not enough for you, if that's not satisfying for you, look and see who's funding Hamas. Go straight to Iran and say, why is Iran doing this? And then ask yourself, who supported Iran? That answer to that question will make you nauseous. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll for today. How are protests affecting the Democratic Party? Increasing support, decreasing support, or you don't think that these protests are going to have any change on the support or lack of support for the Democratic Party? I want to know what you think about it from your observations. What are these protests doing for that political party? Annie Fry YouTube channel to go vote in live chat poll. Pick up that Audacy app. Take us anywhere you go. AUDACY. Find 97.1 FM Talk. You can favorite the Annie Fry Show and listen to us clear as day anywhere you go. Any time of day. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Joe Biden was giving a speech earlier today about his signing of that foreign aid bill. You guys did a poll yesterday when I was out with my daughter on foreign aid. Did anybody support it?
Yeah. I mean, it was split. Well, very evenly.
The question was,
do you support the House foreign aid package? And it was the options were yes, both, yes, Israel, yes, Ukraine, or no, neither.
How many no's?
That was the biggest one.
Was it over 50?
No, it was like 30%.
Okay.
And then Israel. It was 27% Israel, and then like 18% Ukraine, and then
all was lowest.
All was like 22.
Oh, so it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Imagine that. It's interesting because that contingent of our listenership,
mm-hmm.
That's Congress. That's the Republicans in the House. They come from people. They come from constituencies that feel differently about these things. I believe that the aid packages have been very politicized. I personally can see a purpose in funding Ukraine. Not without accountability.
No.
But I don't want it to be without accountability to anything.
Right.
I heard, I don't think we have this. I didn't tell you to get it. I was listening earlier to, I think, Fox. And it was Mitch McConnell. And he was talking about $95 billion. And he said something to the effect of, that's only like 0.02% of our GDP. But that's a lot of money to them. And I'm like, maybe factually true. Don't say that out loud.
No. Also, I mean, that's a lot of money to me.
Yes. Well, yeah. Where else could that money be going? Listen, if buying bullets that are made in America. So the way Joe Biden explained it today. The supplies that we're sending are coming from here and we're replenishing our supplies mm-hmm. with American made products. Okay. I can stand behind that. The question is, when money has gone to Ukraine, where has that money gone? Have you tracked it? Have you purposely not tracked it? I have questions. I have questions that maybe were being asked of Zelensky by Donald Trump in the perfect phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of questions. We get no answers. And then when Joe Biden goes out and delivers his little speech today, he's talking about it's about MAGA Republicans. He's talking about how it's amazing to listen to him deliver this speech and talk about how this is what we can do when we come together, when we unite. And then he immediately goes in and talks about MAGA Republicans mm-hmm. and how they should have gotten it done
like
sooner.
Like a lot.
Yes. To me, that means he's losing.
Yeah.
If you're going to use this moment, which should be a win, this should be a political, that whole speech and spectacle should have been a produced commercial for how Joe Biden followed through on the promise to unite Americans. It would be bull crap,
mm-hmm.
but here's your opportunity. And he used it as an opportunity to dump on who he thinks he's going to win votes by reminding people that his opposition is a MAGA Republican. Again, the world revolves around Donald Trump. Even when Donald Trump is relegated to a courtroom, here we are. Everything comes back to him. This is the clip. Is clip 5 here the one that I asked you to get about Iran?
Let me look. Yes. Yes. Putin's friends.
This is what something that he said today. Just listen to how he articulates
it. Putin's friends keeping him well supplied. Iran sent him drones. Korea has sent him ballistic missiles and artillery shells. China is providing components and know-how to boost Russia's defense production. With all the support, Russia has ramped up its airstrikes against Ukrainian cities and critical infrastructure.
Are we supposed to be like, gasp, when we find out that Iran is supporting what's going on in Russia? That there have been resources and assets funneled to Russia and Vladimir Putin from Iran? Can you say that in the same breath that Vice President Joe Biden and President Joe Biden have funneled resources to Iran?
I mean, I think we should say it in the same breath.
Like, I try not to be this way, but I was offended when he said that.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to it, and like the first thing that came to my mind was pallets of cash. And then the second thing that came to my mind was how people said, well, no, those assets that we unfroze, they're controlled and we can monitor how they're used. And it's like, yeah, but money's fungible. So now that Iran doesn't have to use that money that we unfroze, like even if you say all those dollars go to human aid.
Fungible funds.
Even if they don't have, now that they don't have to fund that human aid out of their war chest, that frees up that money in their war chest to buy drones to send to Russia to attack Ukraine. We're buying.
While we're funding.
Ukraine
to defend from those drones.
Same thing with Israel. We're funding Israel to defend from drones. The huge drone strike came in from Iran. Where did that money come from? Well, we freed it up for them. So us.
I don't know if this is like innovative in American foreign policy to fund both sides of the war. I don't know that this is the first time this has happened. But putting money in the pocket of Iran seems obviously stupid.
Yes.
What do I know? Very little. I get reminded of that daily. But it does seem to me that that's not really a move that you would want to make. That putting money and resources and access into the hands of Iran is a loser outcome. Here's more from the
speech. This bill includes $1 billion for additional humanitarian aid in Gaza. We're going to immediately secure that aid and surge it, including food, medical supplies, clean water. And Israel must make sure all this aid reaches the Palestinians in Gaza without delay.
Who's standing between the Palestinians in Gaza and the aid that Israel wants to provide them?
Hamas?
The word keeps coming up. You keep using that word. I do not think it means. Where's Inigo Montoya when you need him? Wouldn't it be funny if you could send, you know, like a candygram? But like it's Inigo Montoya. You just send. How do you get that to Joe Biden? You probably can't. In a press corps somewhere, he just pops up. And every time he says things like Bidenomics or. Or you keep using that word, we don't know what you're saying. We don't understand what you're talking about. I don't know that the concern here for $1 billion in aid that this $95 billion bill calls for, $1 billion in aid for Gaza, and Israel must ensure that the aid reaches Gaza immediately. Yeah, you want to provide them aid. Yes, that aid has been scooped up and snatched up by Hamas. Is Israel supposed to put itself in harm's way to fight Hamas to get the Gazans this support?
I mean, it kind of sounds like it.
Wow, what a political statement that is, because that's what that is. $1 billion that he's took the time. It's a 1/95th of this entire bill is to support these people. You want to support these people? Get rid of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic that you can't get rid of Hamas without hurting the Gazan people. That's like proof positive of the point.
The thing that's crazy is like if Israel took and set up aid relief areas where the Palestinian people could come and get aid, do you know what would happen with Hamas? Hamas would find those people that were going to Israel for aid and they would kill them. They wouldn't allow that. Can't have that.
And then the morons at Columbia University would say that it was on Israel.
Yeah, Israel didn't give them aid. Israel didn't protect them.
One last clip here from Biden today.
But there's one thing this bill does not do, border security.
Oh, my God.
You know, just this year, I proposed and negotiated and agreed to the strongest border security bill this country has ever, ever, ever seen. It was bipartisan. It should have been included in this bill. And I'm determined to get it done for the American people. Well, I'll come back to that in another moment, another time.
My FCC filter is starting to wane. My emotional filter towards this president is starting to crack.
He called that bipartisan bill the strongest border security bill the world has ever seen. I give you H.R. 2, which was by far and away
is
better bill. And it's sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk in some drawer somewhere, so they don't have to bring it up for a vote.
All his border security bill does is streamline the process of bringing people in here. It's absurd.
It codifies the current policies that are in place so that whatever he's doing now becomes official law. It doesn't change a thing. It won't stem the tide. It won't secure the border. The only thing they're saying is we'll get some more money for it. Like, no, you don't need any more money. What we want you to do is enforce the laws that are on the books, end catch and release, send people back that don't need to be here legally. Change your definition or your understanding of what asylum is. Like, what they're asking for is money to increase the courts so that these quote unquote asylum seekers can come in and claim asylum and get their claims processed faster. Not to send them home, but to process them into the United States and make them from illegal immigrants to legal immigrants. That's what their goal is here. This Senate bill is an absolute disaster. It was a disaster. It remains a disaster. And I 100% support the Republicans who shot this thing down.
The reason why that last statement from Joe Biden pisses me off the most is because he's right. This bill didn't contain border security. And if the Republicans would have had some resolve to require it to, what Joe Biden's speechwriters understand or whatever his cue cards understand, we'll just sum it up that way, is that they weren't going to get a bill to Joe Biden that included border security. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's border security bill doesn't include border security.
Right.
It's a smart political move on the president's part. It's a smart political move on the president's cue cards part to call out the fact that border security was left off because it smacks the Republicans in the face for the issue that will lose the Democrats the election the most. Their utter limp noodle approach to the safety, security, and sovereignty of our country on the southern border. And he got the opportunity because the Republicans put themselves in a position to take it. To take that tough punch from Joe Biden's cue cards. And it's one that I think was delivered. They deserve it. I'm going to play to you this Marco Rubio clip about why he voted no on this as we go here into the break. And we'll get Wiggins America in here. He's going to talk to us about California. He says they know how to party. We're going to find out what that means and whether or not it would entice any of us to move there. Here's Marco Rubio on why he voted no.
This bill is basically saying that if I don't agree to drop my demands that the president secure our border, if I don't agree to spend billions of taxpayer dollars on all over the world to resettle people here and in other places in the midst of our own migratory crisis, if I don't agree to all of that, then Israel and Taiwan and Ukraine do not get the help they need and that I support, and that TikTok does not get banned. This is not compromise. This is legislative blackmail. And I will not vote for blackmail.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Wiggins.
Jenkins.
I love interrupting Janet Jackson. Makes me feel like a big star. How's it going, guys?
Not as good as you.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Feeling like an average star today.
Average star?
Yeah. Could be worse.
Well, you know you're a huge star, though.
Just call me fat.
Yeah.
Ryan, people who live in glass houses.
Oh!
No.
Man.
Dude, it's getting mean. I'm taking this to HR next time.
Are you going to tell them you started it?
No. What? Wait. What? Who started it?
We'll draw a map later.
Okay, thank you. All of these stories today on Wiggins America have to do with California. And surprise, surprise.
Just in case you're unfamiliar.
If you're unfamiliar with the fact that California exists in music, there you go.
Is there anybody who is like from a certain time that didn't have to think in their head in the city?
Oh, no, I don't know. Leah, maybe. Do you know the next line of that song?
She's not from that time.
No, that's true. You're not from that time.
She might know the song.
California knows how to party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that the next line or are you wanting more?
It is. No, that's okay. You got it. You got it. Surprise, surprise. Not all these stories shine a great light on California.
I'm shocked.
Do any of them?
I don't know that any of them really do. I mean, one of them is like kind of in the middle, but the first one is about the new minimum wage law. California McDonald's franchisee owner was on Fox and said the focus at this point is on survival with unprecedented $20 per hour minimum wage forcing higher prices. His name is Scott Roderick. He owns 18 McDonald's franchises in the state. He is considering measures to manage the increased labor costs without resorting to layoffs, which he is trying to make a last resort. But since the implementation of the new wage law earlier this month, there have been several changes in the fast food industry, including already reduced employee hours, and increased menu prices. Now, at what point do legislators hear the warnings from even basic economists and go, you know what, there may be something to that, because it has been swift and immediate that the things they said were going to happen are happening.
I question whether or not they will hear those warnings, because if they do, that would mean that they would have to admit that they were wrong on this particular piece of legislation.
What are they trying to do, though? What's the goal?
The legislators?
The policy.
Like, why are they trying to?
What's the policy?
They're saying we can lift people out of poverty.
What if that's not actually their goal?
Them rich. Well, I think that's what they say is their goal.
Of course they say that.
But isn't their goal staying in power?
I think that the more that you end up having to provide, the more the people who vote need the providers. And if you put people in a position to need to be provided for, the higher the frequency of that, the more you get to retain power. So I think that it's always important to not look at the super obvious thing on the front, like, hey, if we pay, well, I mean, really, like, if you're going to pay everybody a $20 minimum wage, everybody would be way better off if we paid $100 minimum wage. So let's just give them all that money. At some point, it does go to be ridiculous, but the principle is always the same. It's what you can afford and sustain while still growing. And once you cross over to the part where you are providing something that you can't afford to provide, then that means you're shrinking. And if you're shrinking, then that means that commerce, business, provision, security, all of this stuff has to be provided more from the state, which means the people making the policies who are in the state, they are needed more. So I don't think that there's like, we got to convince you that your policies are bad. I think the people at the top know. It's just we don't have the same goals.
And the people at the top are now a month in paying 8% more at Wendy's, 7.5% more at Chipotle's.
Ironically, those people can afford it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? And Starbucks is up around 7%, Taco Bell by about 3%, all in a month. So there you go.
If I were making $18 an hour as a 22-year-old, I would have felt like the biggest baller there was.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, the amount... I come from a time of $5 minimum wage. Yeah. and I mean, I would have to work almost a half a day in order to meet up the expectation of an hour at these current rates. It's obscene. It's ridiculous. And I never would have been able to afford, like, I remember when I was paying rent, it was $500, $600 a month, and I was splitting it with a roommate. It is not that anymore. It's triple. So, yeah, I mean, the people who are leading on these policies, I believe, know exactly what they're doing.
LA, as in Los Angeles, tests program to send unarmed civilians instead of LAPD to crises. These are test programs right now, but the officials are eager to ease the city's reliance on police officers for handling nonviolent mental health emergencies, and they've launched a new pilot program that sends unarmed civilians with some training to respond to such calls. From welfare check-ins to nonviolent mental health drug issues. Remember when we were told that these would be mental health professionals? These are civilians.
These are just people.
These are just people. Now they have some training.
With some training.
How do you know that it's nonviolent?
That's a huge question.
Everything is nonviolent until it is.
Exactly. And there are other programs like this that do exist that they're modeling after that come out of places like, surprise, surprise, Portland. That they say, well, they're kind of effective. Now, it's too soon to really determine. But yeah, it sounds great on paper. You go, yeah, well, if it's nonviolent, you send a nonviolent person who specializes in mental health.
The underlying assumption is that police are violent.
Yes. Well, and also that they would escalate
that's
violence.
That's ridiculous.
All they have authority that these people don't have. And when you send in a mental health professional, hey, they might be able to de-escalate. It might work sometimes. Great. However, when it doesn't work, then what happens? That's the big question. And this is a pilot program from welfare check-ins to nonviolent mental health drug issues to minor health crises in encampments and elsewhere. We need more tools in our toolbox to truly help Angelenos, is that what Los Angeles residents are called? In need, the city council was saying. So we'll see. I have a feeling, though, that they might know that this might not work. And like Annie said, they're going to do it anyway. This one is solidifying the fact that I will now never move to California. I was really considering it until I read this article. New York Post says, now this is a serial killer. Serial spelled C-E-R-E-A-L.
We didn't know where you're going there.
Right? Yeah.
Until you spelled it.
You thought I was joking about a real son of Sam killer. Nope. Some of Americans' favorite snacks and classic candies could be banned in several states due to so-called cancer-causing chemicals in their ingredients. Surprise, surprise. California is at the top of this list. And in fact, in October, California passed the so-called Skittles ban already that will make Skittles illegal by 2027 if they don't change their recipe. Some of the other foods that will be targeted by these laws are Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, Skittles, of course, Nerds, M&Ms, and Swedish Fish. And then some like Hot Cheetos and Doritos and Gatorade because they all use some of these chemicals like potassium bromate. So this is one of those that, hey, maybe down the road we look back and we go, yeah, you know what? Those chemicals, they weren't great. We needed to get rid of those. But at the same time, it always starts in California where they don't want you to have your Skittles.
I thought those were wholesome foods.
They are if you're me.
No, those would be comfort foods.
That's when you eat them for dinner.
I don't know where this ends. Like, you can't eat Skittles.
Yeah. About 40 seconds.
Yeah. You can't eat the food. Then they raise the prices on everything through minimum wage, so they're destroying that industry. But they're also actively attacking farming because farming is the biggest cause of global warming, so we need to end farming.
Sell it to China.
Like, what is the goal here?
By the way, one of the highest in the country, California, if you want to take home $100,000, you now have to make $153,000 to take home $100,000.
Dwight Murdoch in the next hour. Also, Mehet Cook finally going to have the Trump campaign on the Annie Fry Show. 125, full 1 o'clock hour coming. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.